I was asked by Dean Brown to bring the following announcement. I should like to read it at this time. We wish to draw the attention of our students to the seminar on urban studies to be held in Washington, D.C., June 12th to July 8th. The seminar will offer 5 hours of credit to those who are enrolled. Scholarships worth $200 each are available to needy students. Housing will be furnished by churches in Washington. The $200 scholarship is considered adequate for students' needs during the period of study. All who are interested are encouraged to make application in the registrar's office not later than February 15th. Drs. Bland, Emmanuel Carlson, and Copeland will lead this seminar this summer. Will you turn with me, please, to responsive reading number 64. Our Father, for thy merciful providence which has led thy children through light and darkness, we thank thee. We pray that thou wilt give to thy people today a sense of what is vital in a confusing time, a courageous purpose which is not intimidated by the power structures of the world, a continuing ministry of intercession, a compassion which fights for our neighbor and stands by him and makes his joys our joys and his griefs our griefs. A service of love which does not shun the heat of battle or a lowly place or derogation and disgrace or a cross. May thy Holy Spirit uplift, inspire, renew, chasten, challenge, forgive, redeem. In the name of him who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I read from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 37 through 39. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
One was out hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, is of mine, has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters wrought, nor how dark was the night that the Lord went through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard his cry, sick and helpless and ready to die, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are these blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains thundering, and up from the rocky steep, there came a cry from the gate of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed round the throne. The angels echoed round the throne. Rejoice, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Our Lord invites us
to follow him. His invitation is both glorious and exacting. When our Master said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me," he meant, I think, precisely what he said. I state briefly three conditions which our Lord's invitation embodies. First, the invitation embraces unqualified devotion to God. Our Lord himself set the example, for he committed himself unreservedly to the Father, and he never permitted anything to weaken his devotion to God. For example, near the outset of his ministry, the devil proposed the most comprehensive and persuasive temptations that the devil's clever mind could devise. The proposal was that our Lord restrict his mission to material resources, to social organization, and to efficient religious institutionalism and leadership. Now, our Master knew the value of material resources, the worth of good government, and the merits of religious institutions, and he placed the stamp of divine approval upon any honest and honorable human accomplishment. Nevertheless, our Master realized that the substitution of any secondary interest for God constitutes a form of ungodliness, and that there is the wrath of God against ungodliness. Our Lord therefore refused to compromise his deity and his divine mission by presuming to substitute any humanistic device for God and God's will. And to us he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Second, the invitation requires that we love our fellow men. It's not easy to love every person, and it is very difficult to understand that God loves every one of the countless billions of human beings. Yet, by his life and his death, our Master revealed God's love and his own love for every person. I remind you that our Lord never met an unimportant person, whether it was a child or an adult, the illiterate or the scholarly, the prominent or the obscure, the destitute or the wealthy, the sick or the healthful, the demoniac or the sane, the sinful or the saintly. Every person was for him an important somebody, because every person is an immortal soul. Christ's invitation, it seems to me, charges us to have the same concern and the devotion that he had. For he said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Third, the divine invitation entails unqualified loyalty to Jesus Christ himself and his way. Our Master used examples of selfish ambition, of self-righteousness, of indifference, of failure to keep promises, of disregard of ability and waste of resources, and of excuses for delay in order to make it clear that he condones no half-hearted loyalty. He affirmed no man can serve two masters. He said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In severe language, he declared, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." He made the condition of acceptance of his invitation plain when he stated, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Whatever it cost him to do so, our Master gave himself unstintedly. And he asks of you and of me no less than full loyalty to God, to him, and to his way. Our closing hymn is number 99. "Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace."